Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. The folks over at touringplans.com have one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World or Disneyland vacation. Be the hero of your travel party. Navigate around those long lines that are sure to be there on your next trip and just make that vacation better. You're going to look like a genius because while everybody else is standing in a line for an hour, you know to come back in 15 minutes and you'll have half the wait. That's just one of the great services they offer. They'll have information right there on your smartphone using the app lines and much, much more. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 919 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and hopefully you're having a productive day already and you have a great week in front of you. We're going to kick it off by talking some Disney as we do here every Monday. It's time for a great trip report, and today we're heading out to Disneyland Resort to kind of switch it up just a bit and talk about spring break last year because, you know, believe it or not, right now is a great time to plan your next spring break trip. You know, it's not that far off and it's a good time to get a jump on the next season. So joining me today, a return guest to the show, we have Angie, who's up in Iowa. How's it going today, Angie?
Great, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. And let's talk a little Disneyland. And I think this is a fun one because I know that I'm surrounded by girls in my house. I have a wife and two daughters, and you had a mommy-daughter trip out to Disneyland, did you not?
Yes, my nine-year-old and I headed out there in the middle of March when it was terribly cold and snowy in Iowa, but just beautiful down in Anaheim.
Yeah, there's something to be said for those folks that live, you know, in places where it does get snowy and really cold that, you know, about, you know, late February, early March, it just, you got to get somewhere where it's green. I think that's why things like Flower and Garden down at Epcot are so popular because you just want to see a flower or something that's not brown, you know, or like the dirty snow.
Exactly.
So how did you guys decide to plan this mommy-daughter trip? I mean, it sounds like it's pretty intriguing that you guys, you know, took this upon yourselves.
Well, we've been really lucky to go to Disney World a few times in the last few years, and definitely both of us have the Disney bug. And my husband enjoys it too, but he didn't really have the time off, so I proposed that maybe be a great time for mommy and daughter bonding, and found some good prices, and it just kind of came together. I think it really was just a month or two beforehand that I started planning, and that's kind of the beauty of Disneyland is, you know, you don't have to worry about dining reservations far ahead of time and FastPass Plus and all that, so we could still put a great trip together in just that short amount of time.
So was this your first time to Disneyland?
It was, yes. Hopefully not my last, but it was my first.
See, I'm jealous because I still got to get out there. It's killing me. I've been to Walt Disney World so many times, and everybody says, man, you have to do it.
They're right.
Good deal. All right, well, let's start off with your, so you mentioned the planning, and we'd like to talk about that just a little bit because everybody, you know, is thinking about how to, you know, best plan their next trip. And you said you did this, you know, with definitely not as much lead time as you have to think about it world. So was it less stressful? What kind of resources did you pull together?
Well, I got the book, Unofficial Guide to Disneyland, and I got the Touring Plans Lines app, so I could kind of just get a sense of what were the high priority rides and how I might structure our days. But I didn't have a real specific touring plan. You know, I did a lot of reading. I'm an Uber planner. I knew a lot, but it was just kind of nice knowing I could go back to those paper fast passes. And I know that strategy of getting there early is so important. So I really focused on starting our days, you know, right at the beginning of when the parks opened. And that was very helpful.
Awesome. Let's talk about where you stayed, because it looks like you had two different resorts that you stayed at. And one of those was the Candy Cane Inn, which, you know, I just think it sounds cool. That's an awesome name for like a, you know, good neighbor Disney resort there. Exactly. But what did you think of the two resorts? And give us a quick review, because that's always the big question you get. Like, well, if I don't stay at the three Disney owned resorts, you know, basically on property, you know, where should I go good neighbor? Because there's so many of them.
Sure. The Quality Inn and Suites is where we stayed the first two nights, and then the Candy Cane Inn for three nights, I think is how we did it, or the other way around. But anyway, they're both good neighbor hotels. The Quality Inn and Suites is a little further away, but still walkable. And we did walk. We could have taken that Anaheim Resort transportation, but we just, it was so beautiful, and I wanted to get our exercise in since I knew we'd be eating a lot of junk. So we did that. Quality Inn and Suites came with breakfast, a clean room. I mean, it was pretty no-nonsense, but comfortable. And one bonus was we could see the fireworks at night from there, which was kind of cool. I didn't expect that at a, you know, at a budget place. But I think for both of these places, we got rooms for $130 or less. I think it was $130 at Candy Cane and maybe $100 at Quality Inn and Suites. You know, so good prices for being that close and able to walk. I was happy with it. And the free breakfast at both hotels, you know, that was just nice, easy way to start the day.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you get a, you know, much better value when you're looking at good neighbor hotels at Disneyland as opposed to even the value resorts at Walt Disney World, you know, with like the free breakfast and things like that. Now, tell me like how that experience, just as far as staying in the hotel, you know, how does that compare to Walt Disney World? Do you feel like, oh, it's missing something? Because, you know, there's such a strong theme staying on property at Walt Disney World, but, you know, you're going to make up for it when you get into the parks. But, you know, what's that like?
Right. I do love the Disney bubble. I enjoy that about the world. It's different. I mean, certainly when we were walking down Harbor Boulevard, you know, we're passing McDonald's and Perkins and, you know, lots of other hotels. It's a different feeling. But the payoff is we were able to come and go really easily as we pleased. We weren't waiting on buses. And that was really nice. I enjoyed that quite a bit. So I guess I just see it as a trade-off. They both have great things going for them. I don't really think it was a worse experience. Just different and good. It was just, I was so happy to be there.
I can imagine that. Now, before we move on to the parks here, just one more thing about the hotel. So is there any kind of Disney theming to them at all or any kind of little Disney touches? Because I know they're not Disney owned, but I mean,
right.
That's their bread and butter, I'd imagine.
At Quality Inn and Suites, they actually had a decent and pretty good gift shop, you know, so you could get Disney postcards and t-shirts and just all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't as authentic as what you're going to get in the park, but it was, you know, a lot cheaper too. So that was kind of nice. We picked up a couple little souvenirs that way. But other than that, really, no, not a lot of theming Disney related. I think they're just like, it's right over there.
<laughs> You know? <laughs> Yeah, if you want Disney, here it is. It's right here in Anaheim. So, all right, so let's talk about getting to the parks. You know, I'm sure you were very, very excited and you had a good expectation. You listen to Disney podcasts, you read, mm-hmm. you know, the unofficial guide. I mean, you know what you're going to get, but what is it like for a Walt Disney World veteran the first time? Because I've heard so many different stories on this. So what was your story?
Well, for me, for one thing, the fact that I went two time zones to the west really played in our favor. It was easy to get up early and be there early. The first day we were there at 7 a.m. because we got to get in an hour early since we had tickets that were at least 3 days or more. And we chose that day to go early. On the other end of things, it made the nights kind of hard. But anyway, I think the idea of that I'm just walking in, that I just couldn't get over the fact that I could just walk there and that I could walk out of Disneyland and be in California Adventure 5 minutes later. You know, I just think you can't say enough good things about how accessible it is and how copying is just a dream. So, you know, I'd heard that before and I loved that when I experienced it. And I think for me, I didn't have as many expectations about California Adventure, and it was just a wonderful surprise. I loved that park more than I would have thought because I was more focused in my mind on Disneyland.
So, you know, you get there and did you go, see, this would be my big predicament, I think. You know, I think I'd want to go to Disneyland first. I mean, is that what you guys did?
We did because that was the park we could get into early.
Okay. But I mean, if it would have been, you know, dead even, like, you know, neither park had early entry, would you have still done Disneyland first? Because that's,
yes,
you know, Walt's
I always
park.
Have to do Magic Kingdom first.
That's
and I think I would do the same thing with Disneyland. Yeah. No matter what the crowd calendar says.
That's exactly. I've always wondered that. Like, you know, if it's like, you know, the data says you got to go to California Adventure today. I'm like, no, I'm at Disneyland. I have to go there. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Awesome. So tell us about, let's talk Disneyland first. Okay. Cause I mean, you got a good comparison there between Disneyland and Magic Kingdom. So what was your day like touring at Disneyland or more than one day?
Well, and we did park hop. So we were kind of back and forth. And actually something we did that worked out really well for us is we signed up for the Welcome to Disneyland tour that they offer. It's a 2-hour tour and it covers both parks, and it was just $20 each with my Disney Visa discount. And that was nice because it was just a little bit of an overview of both parks, gave us some expedited entrance to a few rides. And we also got some fast passes for afterwards for Star Tours and Indiana Jones. And we got a lanyard and a pin. I mean, it was just the best deal. So yeah, anybody who hasn't been, I can't recommend the Disneyland tour enough. That was really, really fun. There were just about 10 of us and a guide.
How much did you say that cost?
$20 each for a 2-hour tour with a pin and fast passes.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
It's awesome.
I mean, like I thought that's what you said. I'm like, there's no way you got all that for $20.
Yeah, that was with my Disney Visa tour discount. So it might be a little more if you don't have that, but still a really, really great deal.
Still usually just a pin is $20.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really fun. I would say that Disneyland, is a little disorienting when you know Disney, when you know Magic Kingdom really well. So I have been sitting here looking at the map as I've gotten ready to talk to you, because I'm like, no, wait a minute, where is that? In my mind, where is each of the parks get a little confused in my head. But what was important to me was, let's try some rides that we can't access at Disney World. So we focused on that quite a bit. And that was fun. I remember Mr. Toad from when I was a kid, so it was cool to take my daughter on the Mr. Toad ride at Disneyland. Another thing about Disneyland that we really liked was there seems to be a lot more Mary Poppins there, and we're a family that loves Mary Poppins. So my daughter wanted to ride on the carousel there. There is a special horse that was dedicated to Julie Andrews on the 50th anniversary of Mary Poppins, the movie, and it's decorated in a certain way. So it was important to my daughter to ride on that. And the first character we met was Mary Poppins outside of the Jolly Holiday Bakery. And later in the week when we saw the parade, there's a lot of Mary Poppins and other related characters in the parade. So that was all really fun for us. You know, as Mary Poppins lovers, you know, that was a real treat.
Well, just on a side note with that, just totally off topic here, but Disney announced they're going to remake Mary Poppins, kind of a live action movie. Are you excited about that, or is that something they shouldn't touch?
It's kind of hard to imagine anyone but Julie Andrews.
That's it.
But I'll stay open. I'll give it a try.
Now, I heard that scene where Dick Van Dyke dances with the penguins are going to have stormtroopers instead this time for synergy purposes. Oh. No, just kidding. I'm just, you know.
That could be fun. I might like that.
You're open-minded. I like it, man. A lot of Disney fans want to kill you when you say that, but I like it, you know. So yeah, anyway, so. And you mentioned like meeting characters too, and your daughter. Did your daughter say anything that was kind of surprising? Because again, she's a Walt Disney World veteran, so she knows how things are. And then it's, you know, kind of, like you said, a little disorienting, a little different, but maybe she enjoyed it better. What did she think?
She had a great time. She didn't really make comparisons or, you know, I think she's like, Disney, sure, let's do it. One thing I noticed, if we had been at Magic Kingdom, I could not have gotten her on Pirates of the Caribbean. That wouldn't have happened. She's a little scared of dark and fast things. And, you know, we don't do a lot of thrill rides with her. But we rode Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland because the tour did that. And, you know, I gave her the option and she's like, well, no, I'll give it a try. And she actually liked it quite a bit. I can't really compare it to Pirates at Magic Kingdom because I haven't been on Pirates at Magic Kingdom in a long time. But I hear it's better at Disneyland. So that was kind of neat for me that she was willing to try something new because we were in a different place and partly because of the tour, too. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I think for her Toontown, we made it just before she was too old to enjoy Toontown. So that was kind of fun to go through Mickey's house and Minnie's house and meet them outside their houses, which I guess there used to be Toontown at Magic Kingdom. I hadn't experienced that, but that was kind of a fun, different thing to do at Disneyland.
Yeah, and I think you caught that because rumor is that's going away at Disneyland as well.
Yeah, I did hear that. So, personally, I didn't think it was the best land there. But she did enjoy both of those Minnie and Mickey houses and meets. And she fell in love with Gadget's Go Coaster. One morning, we rode it 9 times in a row because she said, I'm 9. We're going to ride it 9 times. And a couple times they just let us stay on there because it wasn't, you know, wasn't busy yet. So that was a bit of a sacrifice on my part as the mom. But anyway, she was thrilled to ride it 9 times in a row. And that was the cool thing about just the two of us being there, is if she wanted to do that, fine, let's do that. You know, that's what's bringing you joy right now.
That's what I was going to say, because when you're doing something like a, you know, like a mother-daughter trip or something, or it's, you know, just it's a very special time between two people, that, you know, the spontaneity is really what could drive an experience like that. And it seems like Disneyland lends itself more towards spontaneity, unfortunately, than Walt Disney World does anymore with My Disney Experience and, you know, the Fast Pass Plus and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you're right about that.
All right, so let's talk here a little bit about, you mentioned in the notes before we were talking through email that, you know, DCA, it was more of a surprise to you. Like, you thought you'd enjoy it, but you enjoyed it more than you were expecting. So talk to us about that.
I think it's a really beautiful park. I mean, it's just, it represents all these different parts of California, which California is a beautiful state, and it is just a beautiful park. It's landscaped in a lovely way. It's laid out in a manner that I found just really relaxing to go from section to section. And of course, Radiator Springs Racers and the whole Cars Land area, I think is just fabulous. They did an amazing job with that. And I expected to like that. I think that's, the Racers has become my favorite ride anywhere at this point. So that was all great. And then there was also really good entertainment. We got to see the Aladdin show. I'm so sad to hear that is going away, because it was a real highlight for us. The talent in that show, and the genie is a stand-up comedian, basically, who changes out his jokes frequently, from what I understand. And we were just laughing and amazed, and it was a great show. So that was a lot of fun. And near there in the Hollywood section, there's also their Animation Academy there, which I treasure even more now that you know, the Disney World one is not available. But it was just, it's a beautiful building, and it was a great animation class. That was also where we met Anna and Elsa together, which was fun, because prior to that, we had met them separately at Disney World. So anyway, those just all these fun experiences that I hadn't really thought about that just kind of kept happening. And one of the best was that the one dining splurge I did was I booked a World of Color dinner package the morning of. That morning, I got online and booked one, and I booked it for $5.20. That's what I could get at the Wine Country Trattoria, I think it's called. And it was a beautiful day. We sat out on the patio, and then all of a sudden, here comes the Pixar parade down the street. And I hadn't tried to time that, but we had perfect view of that, and it just all was lovely. I'm sure part of it was the weather was just so beautiful; everything looked beautiful,
especially that time of year.
Yeah. I would say the kind of not great experience for us was the evening shows. I was really looking forward to those, but partly because of the time change, I think my daughter was just really tired by that time of night, because I think the shows weren't till 10, maybe 9:30. So World of Color, even though we had the fast pass or whatever to get a good view, you have to stand, and you still had to get there, 20 or 30 minutes ahead of time to get a good spot within your section. And she was just tired, and then as the show started, you would get wet, and it just did not go well for us. So I'd love to go back sometime and see World of Color again, because I didn't have a great experience of it. And Fantasmic was a little similar for us over at Disneyland. It was kind of late. We did have fast passes to get in, but she was, not too happy that we had to sit on the ground or stuff. She's spoiled by the nice big theater at Disney World or at Hollywood Studios. So, I'm sure the shows there are great, but my personal experience of them was colored by a tired, crabby 9-year-old. So
how many nights were you there? Like 4 or 5?
We had 4 nights.
Okay, so you're traveling from the central time zone. So you never, harder on kids, especially, at that age, because they just go, and then they kind of crash. I mean,
exactly.
Everybody's parent knows that. But was there not really a lot of time to kind of adjust to the even 2 time zone change there?
I think even if we had adjusted, the fact that the shows were that late at night, that's just, late for her anyway. Yeah, I just think it wasn't enough time for her to really make that transition. And we were going all day long. You know, like I said, we walked a lot. I think my Fitbit on the first full day showed 23,000 steps. So, you know, that's a lot for a 9-year-old.
Nice. You got to like those steps on the Fitbit. Yes. Everybody knows I love those. So, okay, let's talk as you went at spring break time. So, of course, spring break varies widely from state to state and, you know, parts of the country. The Midwest depends if you're like in a private school, it'll be way late sometimes, you know, coinciding with Easter. Sometimes the public schools get out, you know, a month early for a week. You know, it's what was it like as far as crowds out in California during this week that you were there? And what week were you there for planning?
It was the 18th to the 23rd is when we were there. So, you know, right in the middle.
March or April?
Of March, I'm sorry.
Because I know some stay really late. So did you think that crowds were tolerable? I mean, it sounds like the weather was great.
The weather was great and the crowds were not bad at all. Our prior Walt Disney World trip was in early August, and that was worse. So I didn't think the crowds were bad at all, especially because the park was opening at 8 or even 7 on our early entry day. And with us getting there early, we had a lot of good hours in the morning before it was starting to, you know, build the crowd up anyway.
All right. So talk to us, too, about, because, again, you got to kind of go back in time when you go to Walt, you know, when you go to Disneyland as opposed to Walt Disney World. You know, it's so, you know, scheduling intensive now at Walt Disney World. I mean, you can still go in there and kind of do your own thing, but it puts you at a major disadvantage where at Disneyland, you can still kind of get there that morning. And if you have an idea, you know, it's like 5 years ago at Walt Disney World, you can really use that Fast Pass system to your advantage. Mm-hmm. So how did you feel now that you've experienced both and kind of taken a step back to the way it was? Did you enjoy that on this trip?
It was fun. Yes. I mean, it worked out well, especially, like I said, since our trip was planned closer to when we traveled, that worked out really well for us. And it was nice to be able to, you know, still be making changes on the fly right up to the time we were in the park. For example, like with Radiator Springs Racers, I think we rode that almost every day because we'd hop back and forth and grab a Fast Pass as soon as we could. And then she got brave enough even to get into the single rider line because she liked it so much. So that kind of flexibility was really fun.
Well, and one other thing I've heard about Disneyland is they have lots of good, like, snacky foods, and counter service is really a strong suit for California as well. So do you have anything that kind of stood out there?
Well, we discovered churros. Nice. We hadn't had those before and had those a few times. That was really good. And let's see. Oh, I know. One of the times we were in DCA, we kind of stumbled across this area that's called like the Reedy Creek Challenge or something like that. And it's kind of a little challenge course for kids. It was really fun. It was a good different experience. And right around the corner from there basically is the entrance to the Grand Californian. And I had read that the counter service in there was decent food and not crowded. And this was around dinner time. So it was getting more crowded in the park. I mean, I think so we went in there, and it's a beautiful hotel. It's worth looking around. And we got back to the counter service. And I think there were two other people in the restaurant. So it was awesome. I mean, it was just really, you know, really relaxed. And it gave us a chance to chill out and have some, you know, good counter service food. So that was fun. That worked out well. And then a couple of times we ate outside the park just on Harbor Boulevard, kind of on the way back to our hotel. One night we went to Perkins and it was, you know, a kids eat free. So that was nice. And there was a nice little pizza place along there. So there were some more affordable options outside the park within walking distance too, which was kind of fun. As well as we did hit up Earl of Sandwich in downtown Disney.
Good call. And I love Perkins too. We don't have Perkins here around St. Louis anymore. So I could go for some Perkins. It's been a while. I
used to do that. Yeah, it was good.
Whenever we go like to a soccer tournament or something, it was always like, hey, there's a Perkins. Let's go there.
Yeah. So you know what you're going to get.
Exactly. It's good stuff too. All right. So as we wrap up today's show, it sounds like you had a really good, you know, mother-daughter trip. And it sounds like you would encourage people to give this a shot, even maybe a father-son trip if you get a chance. But, you know, maybe one thing you learned or a tip you could give somebody that's a Walt Disney World veteran that, you know, now that you're back from your first time out west, that you might offer up to somebody who's thinking about doing something similar.
Well, let's see. I would definitely say don't hesitate to stay off-site, so to speak. You know, whenever I go to Disney World, we stay on-site, and I love that. But it's just different and more affordable if you're willing to go the good neighbor route at Disneyland. And I think you can still go hang out at the hotels, you know, at the Disneyland Hotel and the Grand Californian. But if that, you know, don't let the cost of those prohibit you from making a plan to head out there.
All right. Well, sounds great. Well, Angie, I appreciate you taking the time to go back to LAC and talk a little Disneyland. And we'll have to do this again after your next Disney trip. Do you have something on the horizon?
Yes. My extended family of 16 is headed to the world for Thanksgiving.
Ooh, we'll have to definitely talk about that. A holiday and 16 folks and a big family. Oh, man, there's going to be so many stories. We'll have to block out two episodes, I think.
Yeah.
You'll have a good time. I appreciate it, Angie. Mike. You take care and tell your daughter that I appreciated getting to share her story here on the podcast as well.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, as Angie mentioned, touringplans.com is going to help you navigate the crowds and have a great Disney vacation, not only during the trip, but we don't talk about this enough. It's before the trip. They have lots of pre-trip planning tools like the crowd calendar, so you can kind of decide which day is the best day to go to what park. And it just gives you, you know, confidence going into your vacation that you have a plan and that you're going to, you know, you're doing everything you can. You're hedging your bets. So you're going to have a great experience once you get there. And then, of course, you'll have access to stuff like Lines, which is the mobile application, which will give you up-to-the-minute wait times, fast pass return times, and so forth, to help you make great decisions in the park. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. Don't forget the next Be Our Guest podcast live show where you can call in and talk with the crew, where we'll be talking all kinds of Disney. We'll come your way on Sunday night, October 18th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We hope you'll be there. Again, magicalmouseradio.com, the Be Our Guest podcast live show. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right there at magicalmouseradio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And the t-shirt sales are wrapping up. This is your last chance to grab a couple of t-shirts to support the Be Our Guest Podcast. We're going to retire these designs forever. And, you know, we'd love to see you in these shirts in the parks. And all the money raised goes to help support the show, help us pay the bills so we can make the show bigger and better than ever. And we really appreciate it. So again, just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com or ImperialShirtCo.com to support the show and grab a couple of t-shirts. We'd really, really appreciate it. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for kicking it off with us here on the podcast. We appreciate it every time you download a show and spread the word about the podcast all over the internet. So thanks for doing that. So for Angie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Get out there and work hard and make it a great week. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.